So this class is called Submission and Authority. It's one of the more popular classes that we took at Rhema, one of the more important classes, one of the most memorable classes, and perhaps one of the most helpful classes that we took when we were in Bible school. Our main text is going to be James 1:22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. You'd be deceiving yourself otherwise. Goal: the purpose of this class is to teach students the meaning of honor and humility, to instill a spirit of excellence so that their character can pass the test of time and carry the authority and anointing God wants them to walk in. You want that? I want that. We're going to go over honor and respect. We're going to go over obedience, excellence, getting a spirit of excellence about ourselves, church and ministerial ethics. This is a fascinating topic and something that some things you just won't know unless somebody tells you. Authority and humility. Humility is what makes everything work. So that's where we're going. That's what this class is about. So you're all here for ministerial training, is that correct? Can I talk to you guys as ministers?
Yes.
Can I talk to you at that level?
Yes.
All right, so let's just take a step up here and let's just stop seeing ourselves as anything other than called and chosen by God. I'm going to be teaching somebody else. That's what you want to think. I'm going to be teaching somebody else the precious truths of the Word of God. And so here in this class, I'm going to be taught some things about my character. I'm going to be taught some things about honor and the anointing. And so this is important. I need to get this so that I can walk in the fullness of what God wants me to do. Today's class is called Honor. To lay a foundation here, all authority is delegated authority. Every policeman who stands there at a traffic light, or if the traffic light is out and the policeman's directing traffic, he can't stop a car physically, can he? But when he puts his hand out and when he's got his badge on, cars stop. Why? Because of what's behind him. Because of what backs him up. You know, it's like fun explaining this to kids, you know. Well, who backs up the policeman? Well, the National Guard. Well, who backs up the National Guard? Well, the U.S. Army. And who backs them up? Well, you know, it's this kind of a thing. All this is behind that man with the badge. He's backed up. There's all this authority. There's all this force behind him. And what he does is he's doing it under command. He is commanded to be there. He's there because he's assigned to be there. And because he's assigned to be there, he is very confident in being there, isn't he? He's under authority. Remember the man that came to Jesus and said, I am a man under authority. I'm a soldier under authority. Jesus called that great faith. That guy said, I'm under authority. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. This man, come, and he cometh. Because I, too, am a man under authority. And so, Jesus, all you've got to do is say the word. You get it. You're talking my language. It's done. So all authority is delegated authority. God is the source of all authority, and all authority is to return glory and honor and respect back to him. Let's understand that. Romans 13. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. At what time was this written? In what context was this written? Was it written during a democratic, peacefully elected, popular government? Were the Romans Jews? Were the Jews welcoming the Romans? Were the Romans a conquering, occupying force of Gentiles who were considered unclean? They despise the Romans. Now, here is what the writer of Romans says to Jewish Christians. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And he's talking to them about being subject to Roman authority, which the Jews all considered illegitimate. And he's saying, be subject. Honor this authority. Get with the program. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Well, do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he, the government, or the person in authority, does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Christians pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due. Taxes, to whom taxes are due. Custom, to whom customs are due. Fear, to whom fear. Honor, to whom honor is due. Now, were some of these officials corrupt? Absolutely. Were some of the tax gatherers corrupt? What does this say? Verse 7. Read it with me. Render, therefore, to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, the principle here is not the person, but the office. You need to separate personality and authority. You all work jobs. Every job has an office. You have people to report to. You have people who report to you. These are offices. Now, if you confuse personality and office, you can become very disrespectful very quickly. If you start bad-mouthing your boss, giving him a silly nickname, running down this boss with a bad nickname and things like that, you know what's going to end up happening is that the boss is going to call you by name and all of a sudden you're going to, you know, respond to him, "Yeah, squirrely, I mean, Mr. Johnson." Offices. Now, people are going to be imperfect all the time. All people are imperfect. And yet this text right here says you better be subject to offices. You better be subject to that authority and that position. And don't get confused with personalities and offices. Here's an example. When Rush Limbaugh first got on the air and the Clinton administration was in power, and Rush Limbaugh had all kinds of criticisms. And I was working in an office where they were playing that all the time. And at first I was kind of like, he's making a point, and yeah. But then after a while I got to realize, wait a second here. This man is disrespecting the President of the United States. This man is disrespecting the office. And all of these funny little things and funny this and funny that is starting to make me real uncomfortable. Wait a second. We're pulling down the integrity of the office of the President of the United States of America. This isn't good. This isn't good. This is setting a trend. It's making it easy for the next person and easy for the next person. And is our president today highly esteemed in the United States of America? Is he highly esteemed in Europe? Is he highly esteemed overseas? Not so well. We started this. We started this trend a decade ago, several decades ago. And it was started, a Republican started it, and our Republican president is having a hard time because of seeds that were sown in the previous administration. Respect. Respect is very, very important. If you get pulled over by a police officer, what do you call him? Officer. I mean, we all get that, right? But one of the sergeants in the San Mateo Police Department was one of my high school buddies. The guy I grew up with from down the street, tall, gangling guy who was just a really neat guy, and just another guy. But when he's got his badge on, to me, he's Sergeant so-and-so. And now he's a sergeant in the police department here. And he, when I see him on the street, I say, "Hello, Sergeant so-and-so." And, you know, he's still got the great big smile and all that kind of stuff. But he's done very, very well in San Mateo Police Department. And he's Sergeant so-and-so. When you're introduced to the president of a country, or if you're introduced to the president of a large company, would you say, "Hey, Bobby, Bobbo, Jimbo"? Would you do that? No. How would you act? If the President of the United States walked into the room, would we all sit in our seats? We'd stand at attention. What are you doing? You're showing respect, aren't you? Is it proper? Absolutely. Let's think about this. If you were playing golf with Billy Graham, would you see him as an average golfer? Or would you see him as one of the leading ministers of our century? Which would you prefer to do? If you were to spend 2 hours in a golf cart with Billy Graham, would he be a lousy golfer that you just had to kind of tolerate around the course? Or would he be Reverend Graham, and you're treating him as Reverend Graham? And Reverend Graham, can I help you with this? Reverend Graham, can I help you with that? Which would you receive more from an experience of 2 hours with a lousy golfer? Reverend Billy Graham. It all depends on how you see the person in their office. Because Reverend Graham was outside the pulpit. Was he still Reverend Graham, or was he Billy the golfer? Depends on how you want to take it. What do you want? Do you want to golf with Billy? Or would you like to receive some spiritual insight from Reverend Graham? How you approach the person, whether you approach them in their office or you approach them in the context. More than that, God made every person in His own image. God made everyone in His own image. When I go to a rest home and I go and minister to old folks in a rest home, and I sit down with somebody in a rest home, and I start asking them where they've been, what they've done, and who they are, I'm receiving them as one of God's children. I'm receiving them as an elder. I'm receiving them and honoring them as someone who knows more, has seen more, and has done more than me. And I come away more blessed than the person I ministered to. I drew out of them their nuggets. Can you do that? Do you see that? Everybody has tremendous value. Everybody. And if you'll walk around and honor people the way they should be honored, you will grow so much. And God will honor you. And you will be highly esteemed if you will esteem others. Now, a major way that we honor God is through obedience. But my first point was that we honor God when we honor people. We honor God when we honor people. Another way we honor God is with our giving. Malachi chapter 1 is all about dishonoring God by not giving God the best lamb or the required sacrifices. Giving God your junk is dishonoring to God. How many people have ever had this thought that when they were cleaning out their garage and they were going to head to the dump, oh, wait a second, maybe we can give that to the church. Is that the right thing to do? No, actually, if you're heading for the dump, keep on going. Just keep on going, all right? All right, let's look at Malachi chapter 1. You got your Bibles. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. We're going to get a lot out of this. Malachi chapter 1 is the book just before Matthew. Malachi 1:6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me, says God? If I am a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. What does the New Testament call us? Kings and priests. You place defiled food on my altar, but you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? You were supposed to bring an unblemished animal. When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? I mean, basically animals that were you couldn't sell, people were bringing to the temple to bring as their sacrifice. Boo. Try offering them to your governor. Ooh. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now implore God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hands. Will he accept you? Oh, that one of you would shut the temple door so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations. We all want God to be glorified, don't we? We all want God to be number one. We all want people to see the truth. We all want China to become converted. We all want Russia to be converted. We all want the Middle East to be converted. We all want Hollywood to be converted. And yet God is pointing the finger here at the priests and saying, you're bringing number two. No, you're not even bringing number two to the altar. You're bringing the worst of the flock to the altar. And yet you want me to be glorified in the nations, and you're dishonoring me. Let's take that a little bit further. We want God to be glorified throughout the earth. And yet there are people who would say, yeah, I want God to take over the media, and I want God to be glorified, and I want God to be in charge, and I want God to be glorified, and I want the churches to be strong in America. And yet, I put a 5 in the offering. I put a 20 in the offering. I don't come close to tithing. And yet I'm all for Jesus. What's this? Dishonoring? Absolutely. Verse 12, but you profane it by saying the Lord's table is defiled, and of its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden! What a burden! And you sniffed at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. Tithing, giving to God. And the people are just saying, it's not important, giving to God. And yet God's saying, it's a big part of respect. It's a big part of my honor. It's a big part of whether or not I've got your heart or I don't. Do I have all of you? Do I have your heart? If I've got your heart, then giving is easy. But if giving is a burden, and if giving is hard, it's an indicator light. It's a needle. And it's telling you where your needle's at. If you can give joyously, God loves a cheerful giver. That's where your needle ought to be. You want your needle over here on the cheerful side. But if you're giving grudgingly, it's saying something. It's a heart gauge. Where's it at? Let's keep going. This is talking to us. When you bring injured, crippled, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. The Bible's not written in chapter and verses, and so this is still going on in chapter 2. And now this admonition is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I'm going to send a curse on you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not set your heart to honor me. God's honor is all important, isn't it? I will honor whom those who honor me and those who esteem me will be highly esteemed. And those who lightly esteem me, says the Lord, will be lightly esteemed. But those who honor me will be honored. You want to be honored. You want God's honor. And so with all your heart, you need to check up and check in and make sure, are you doing your very best for God? All right, let's move on. We honor people with our giving as well. What does it say when you give to your spouse a cheap Walgreens paper greeting card is their only gift for Christmas? It's got a Santa on it. It says, happy holidays. Got this card for you. Is that honoring or dishonoring? What does it say if you gave your spouse a new car in the color that they wanted with all the options that they wanted? Does one gift say more than the other? Does one gift speak of honor more than the other? I'm just using, these are big examples, right? I mean, you guys probably don't just give a greeting card to your spouse at Christmas. Probably not many of you have given cars. And so the size of the gift, the thoughtfulness of the gift, the amount of effort in the gift has a lot to do with the honor in the gift. Why would it be wrong to give an important person like your spouse too small of a gift? Disrespectful. It's dishonoring. So we honor people with gifts. We show respect unto them. Here's a good example. In Asian cultures, when they give you change, they give it back to you with two hands. And you're supposed to receive it with two hands, with a little bit of a bow. What are they showing? And said, how about this? Have you ever received change back like this? Or it's more honoring when they put it in your hand. But if they just put it on the table, or if you've been at the bank and you ask for cash back or something like that, and the teller measures out the cash and then kind of leaves it on their side of the table, and you got to kind of reach for it. You kind of ever gotten a little toot about that? But or if they hear it and they count it out to you and put it in your hand, there's a level of honor, isn't there? And I was just really impressed when we went on our missions trip to Asia, and they taught us that you're supposed to receive change and you give. When you pay, you pay with two hands. And when you receive the change, you receive it with two hands. I like that. Eastern cultures are very developed. Honor is important. This text will help us. 1 Peter chapter 3. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment merely be your outward adornment, your hair, your jewelry, your fine clothes. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So we've talked to husbands and wives, now we're talking to singles. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. The overarching context of this verse is that people are made in the image of God, highly esteemed by God. And don't you ever let the devil use you to dishonor another person. No matter how mad you happen to be in the heat of the moment, no matter how much they deserve your verbal outrage, remember, they're God's kids. Here's my illustration. You two gentlemen, would you guys stand on either side here? You guys are having a discussion, perhaps a heated discussion, perhaps over money. Angel Ansel, would you come up here? Willie, you played the role before. Come on up here. You're Angel Willie. Come on up here. Angel Ansel is now standing at Joe's side. Angel Willie is standing over here at Rick's side. I want you guys to stand over kind of stage, backstage here a little bit. Their angels are right there. Jesus, will you come here? Mike. Will you come here? Jesus is right here as well. And God, come on, Roger, God is here, okay? And so is the Holy Spirit. Come right here, too, okay? God's here, the Holy Spirit, so we have the Trinity here. Knowing that this is a reality, God is watching. I mean, Jesus is right here. God is watching. The Holy Spirit is present. Angels are present. How shall you conduct yourself in public or in private, because it's the same group? This isn't the privacy of your own home right now, right? You're not having a fight in the kitchen anymore, are you? This is a public arena, isn't it? Add to this the gallery of the saints watching over from all eternity, from the beginning of the world, Abraham and Isaac and David and Peter and Paul, looking over the galleries of heaven into your living room and onto your job site, and listening to your cell phone conversation while you talk to someone God made and God paid the highest price possible for. He sent His Son to die. He paid the highest price ever that will ever, 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 ever be paid, ever. God paid it for that person. How then shall you speak to that person? It's a class about honor. Honor God. Honor His people, and you too will be honored. Thank you very much. Thank you. You guys are a great class there. All right, and let's just finish this up. Bless you. Strong point, isn't it? Strong point, huh? We can all learn from it. Well, I can learn from this. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Does God want to bless you with riches? Yes, He does. Here is a great key. Humility and fear of the Lord. Do you kind of see this? I mean, if you have a humble heart and you are afraid of God, are you just going to let your mouth rip somebody up one side and down the other? Humility and fear of the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:30, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And so Malachi brings it out that we despise God in lots of little ways. And so let's be careful about that. I'm sure that every one of you has had God deal with you about some personal issue. And yet, it's not necessarily directly in the Bible, but you've heard God talk to you about it. And some days, you're right on. And other days, it's kind of like, God, leave me alone. I've had a hard day. I just deserve a little extra flesh time. 1 Samuel speaks to this. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And so when you listen to that still small voice and you obey God in those little things, it may seem like a small act of obedience, but the payback is huge. The payback is giant. Honor. The payback is God lifting you up like Joseph out of the pit and placing him in a position of great authority. A hockey mom may become the next vice president and possibly even the next president of the United States. Strong Christian. This is called, in the military, they call it, I think, deep selection. They call him, he was deep selected. In other words, here's a general position. And they don't just take the top colonel and just move him up a half a rank into general. But there's deep selection where they go and they get somebody who's way down the list and pull him up and put him in that spot. God's all about that. The Bible is all through. David, deep selected there. The youngest kid of the son of Jesse. Not his oldest brother, not the oldest kid, not the priest's kid, but the son of Jesse, a worshiper, him who was just tending, as his brothers call it, those few sheep. He wasn't a big shepherd. He wasn't a shepherd of a big bunch. He just had those few sheep. He wasn't even honored among shepherds. But he was honoring God, wasn't he? Are you honoring God on the freeway? Are you honoring God with the time that you arrive at work? Are you honoring God with the way you speak to people? Psalm 91, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because he has set his love upon me. Because he has set his love upon me. Because I am first in his life. I will deliver him and I will set him on high. I will set him on high. Those little things of obedience, those little places where you're honoring God, where those little places where you say, not my will, not my flesh, but honor, 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 a life of honor, God will put you in a place of honor. Proverbs 26:8, as he bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that gives honor to a fool. Ooh. What is he talking about? A stone in a sling. Basically what David did when he put that stone in a sling, he's about to do damage. When the wrong person gets put in position, it does damage. We've all seen it. We've all seen it. You know, just some nincompoop was put in charge and chaos, and it was just problems. It was damaging. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong in the natural. We've seen it. It's wrong in the spirit. So what we're saying, what I'm just saying is that even arguing from the other end of the extreme, that unfaithful people are just a problem. So God's not going to promote that. But God is watching those teeny little acts of obedience that he can promote it. If anyone serves me, John 12, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. Serving Jesus. When you do this, and then Jesus helps us a little bit, gives us a little more light on that same verse. And he says, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. Jesus, when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. It isn't just that I'm serving God, I'm serving God, I'm so holy, I'm no good to anybody else. He's saying, when you serve people, you're serving God. When you serve people, you're serving Jesus. And when you serve Jesus, him will I honor. The person who serves Jesus, I will honor. Of course, you know the story about how Solomon had that dream. And in his dream, God says, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, wisdom so that I can govern these people. And God said, wow. Because this was in your heart, verse 11, And thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither has that yet, neither did you ask for long life, but you asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people, God said. You see how this works? God made man in his own image. God values people. And because he said, I want wisdom for your people, God. God said, because you asked this for my people, I will do so much more for you. Because you asked it for my people. That's the operative word there, my people, in this whole thing. And so I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before you, nor will anyone after you, because you did this. You went to serve God's people. God has honor reserved for you, so live a life of honor. Praise God.